Now that we have touched on some of the ways we can discern historical information in poetry, we should turn to the genre of Old Testament narrative.
We are all familiar with Old Testament narratives. Books like Genesis, Exodus, and many others are comprised largely of narratives, true stories about historical people, places, and events. Biblical theologians often draw heavily from narratives because their stories reveal many details about history. They report words and speeches, names of characters, places where events occurred, and various historical connections. These and other features make narratives rich resources for synchronic synthesis. But discerning historical information requires careful interpretation, even of narratives.
We will look at narratives in the same way we discuss poetry. First, we'll see that narratives were also designed to provide information about two worlds. And second, we'll examine how to discern historical information in this genre. Let's look first at the ways these portions of the Bible record historical information about two worlds. Much like poets, the authors of narratives also stood between two worlds. On the one side, they wrote about the world that was the subject of their text, or that world. Unlike poetry, however, narratives largely focus on the past and only rarely mention the present or the future. For instance, Moses wrote about the primeval and patriarchal history in the book of Genesis, even though he lived much later in history. Old Testament authors often wrote about times that preceded the days in which they lived by hundreds of years. On the other side, authors of narratives also dealt with their world, the world in which their readers lived. They wanted their readers to think, act, and feel in certain ways within their own worlds in the light of past events. So as Moses wrote about the primeval and patriarchal periods, he described those ancient days in ways that taught his Israelite readers about their own privileges and responsibilities. All authors of Old Testament narratives wrote about the past for the sake of their readers living in later times. Old Testament narratives were designed to have many different influences. They were doxological, leading readers to praise and worship God. They were theological, explaining truths about God. Some were political, focusing on current national events, as well as polemical, opposing false teachings. They were moral, explaining how God's people should live. They were motivational, encouraging every kind of faithful response. In short, Old Testament narratives were didactic. They were designed to teach early readers about their lives. Now, in the narrative genre, most of this didactic purpose was implicit. Authors expected their readers to infer theological principles from their stories. Even so, this didactic aspect was very intentional. Authors always wrote in order to teach their readers about their own lives. With these two worlds in mind, we should turn to the ways we can discern historical information from Old Testament narratives.
Unfortunately, modern evangelicals often make the mistake of expecting Old Testament narratives to be like modern journalistic historical writings. Since the 17th century Enlightenment in Europe, many historians have sought to apply the standards of scientific rigor to written historical accounts. In this view, historians must seek to be as exacting as their counterparts in sciences like chemistry and biology.
There are many ways to summarize these rigorous standards, but we may say that in this outlook, trustworthy historical accounts must be comprehensive, precise, and objective. That is to say, true historical records will include every significant fact about a situation to give a balanced account. They will report details with exacting precision, or will at least acknowledge that they haven't. and they will avoid all subjective evaluations that may prejudice readers. Now, we can understand why these modern ideals developed. After all, it's far too easy to confuse fact with fiction when historians do not reach for these standards to some extent. Yet the authors of Old Testament narratives did not completely follow these modern ideals. Now, they did not propagate religious fantasies, nor did they present historical errors or fabrications as fact. But they did write in ways that were determined largely by their didactic purposes and not by our modern sensibilities. To see how this is true, let's look briefly at the three modern standards that are often mistakenly applied to Old Testament narratives, beginning with the idea that historical accounts should be comprehensive. Simply put, Old Testament stories were only as comprehensive as suited the didactic purposes of their writers. They did not include every significant fact. Consider an example from the Book of Chronicles. When the writer of Chronicles composed his history of Solomon's life in 2 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9, he followed the record of 1 Kings chapters 1 through 11 fairly closely. But he omitted every negative dimension of Solomon's reign. He omitted references to Solomon's marriage to Pharaoh's daughter and other foreign women, his creation of worship centers for their gods at the temple, and the severe prophetic condemnation Solomon received. By practically any measure, these negative events were highly significant. After all, according to 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, Solomon's failures led to the division of the nation. But the chronicler determined not to include them because of his didactic purposes. To be sure, many of his readers already knew this information, but the chronicler wanted them to concentrate on Solomon's positive accomplishments, and as a result, he focused his account on Solomon's successes. Old Testament authors felt no compulsion to include every significant fact. They did not meet the modern criterion of comprehensiveness in good history writing. Nevertheless, their narratives are true and authoritative records of the past. In the second place, Old Testament authors were only as precise as their didactic purposes required.
There is a vital difference between precision and truth. Every day of our lives, we speak of things imprecisely without misrepresenting the truth. When someone asks, "What time is it?" we don't hesitate to say, "It's 2 o'clock," when it might be, more precisely, 2 minutes and 20 seconds after 2 o'clock. In every aspect of life, precision is always a matter of degree. And so long as we respond with as much precision as is needed, no one accuses us of misrepresenting the facts. Well, in many ways, the same kind of thing was true for Old Testament authors. They were only as precise as they needed to be to reach their didactic goals.
Consider, for example, Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, where Moses wrote about Earth's atmosphere in this way. "So God made the expanse, and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it." Here, Moses wrote that God placed the expanse in the sky, using the Hebrew word rakia. The term rakia meant some sort of flattened, solid material. As this passage tells us, this solid material separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. As modern people, we know that Moses' description of Earth's atmosphere is scientifically imprecise. Moses spoke this way because the sky appeared to him and to many others to be like a ceiling or tent of blue crystal or lapis lazuli. It was commonly held that rain resulted from the blue waters above pouring through holes or chimneys in this solid ceiling. Of course, the omniscient God of Scripture could have revealed to Moses a more scientifically precise understanding of Earth's atmosphere if he had wanted to, But this was not what the Holy Spirit wanted his people to learn. Moses did not misrepresent the true condition of nature, but he did speak of it imprecisely, as it appeared to him. Knowing this, we have to be careful not to overestimate the level of precision Moses intended to reach in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. We would be mistaken to conclude that it was a historical fact that God put a solid barrier in the sky, or that God placed waters above and below a solid barrier. Instead, our assessment of this historical record must acknowledge Moses' imprecision and focus on his didactic purpose. For instance, we may rightly say from Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, that God ordered the sky, that God established the sky to make earth habitable, and that God ordered the sky in a way that was good. Responsible interpretation must acknowledge the fact that Moses and other biblical authors spoke of historical facts with only enough precision to meet their didactic goals. The question of precision also moves to the foreground when we consider reports of words and thoughts in Old Testament narratives. Consider just one example. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 5, and 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 18, we find a description of God's words in response to Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. Let's compare these passages. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 5, we read these words from God: "I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I spoke to David your father, saying, 'A man of yours will not be cut off from the throne of Israel.'" In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 18, we read these words from God: "I will establish the throne of your kingdom, just as I covenanted with David your father, saying, 'A man of yours will rule over Israel.'" Now, the larger context of these two verses make it clear that they refer to the same historical event. But the wording is not precisely the same. In 1 Kings, God spoke to David, but in 2 Chronicles, he covenanted with David. And in 1 Kings, God said, "A man of yours will not be cut off from the throne of Israel." While in 2 Chronicles, he said, "A man of yours will rule over Israel." Some of these differences may be the results of errors in textual transmission, but not all of them. Rather, they reflect the fact that Old Testament narratives were not designed to repeat words and thoughts of God or anyone else with absolute precision. In reality, neither the writer of Kings nor the author of Chronicles intended to be utterly precise. What they wrote was historically true. They did not misrepresent what God said, but their levels of precision were determined by their didactic goals, not by modern notions of precise record keeping. Responsible interpretation distills what God said with levels of precision that match the biblical records. We can be confident that God said he would establish David's dynasty, and that God promised to uphold his covenant with David, and that a descendant of David will always rule over Israel. But seeking much more precision than this would be misguided. As we explore the genre of narrative in synchronic synthesis, we face many different kinds of imprecision. Numbers of people, measurements, geographical references, and the like often do not meet modern scientific standards. But this lack of modern precision does not mean that the accounts are untrue. On the contrary, we can be confident that Old Testament stories tell us the truth about history. Yet we must always be careful not to overestimate their precision. Finally, let's consider the fact that Old Testament narratives are not objective by modern standards. It's common in our day to think that reliable historical writers remain objective in their reporting, never allowing their presentations of history to reflect their personal opinions or evaluations of events. But we must always remember that objectivity is a matter of degree. As long as historical records have been kept, there have always been historians who allowed their subjective opinions to skew their writing to the point that they actually misrepresented history. But even the most objective historians had biases that they could not escape. At the very least, these biases influenced which events they reported and how they described them. In this sense, we know that historical writings have never been entirely objective. This is even true when it comes to the Old Testament. God inspired Old Testament authors to shape the opinions of their readers. This goal influenced what they omitted, what they included, and how they described what they included. At times, it even moved them to express their biases and assessments boldly. For example, listen to these words from Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, where Moses reported that Lot pitched his tents near Sodom. "Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord." We should not shy away from Moses' evaluation of Sodom. He gave his opinion on the city, but his moral outlook was inspired by God and therefore correct. We should feel free to say things like, "Lot turned from God to associate with wicked men," or "the city of Sodom was full of wicked people." These statements represent objective truths about the historical conditions of that day. In summary, we can say with confidence that Old Testament narratives were not designed to meet modern standards of history writing. They only present fully reliable historical information that will enable us to construct synchronic syntheses of Old Testament theology.